Well, this morning we're going to begin a new series. I kind of like that. I'm going to begin a new series and then I'm going to leave for 2 weeks. I think that's a good thing to do, but I think it's what I'm supposed to do, and so that's what I'm going to do. And someone laughed. Somebody knows me pretty well. The series I'm about to preach comes from various verses and chapters in the Bible, but generally it's the knowing series. And we begin today with knowing God's plan. My text will be from Jeremiah 29, verses 11 through 14. But you know, God does have a plan and purpose for your life. That sounds kind of trite in today's religious kind of world. We hear it a lot. But we kind of ignore it because it is so strange to think that Almighty God, with all the things He has to do, with all of creation that He holds together in the palm of His hand, with all the little fishes that fish and all the little birds that fly, and He's aware of every sparrow that falls from the sky, and actually loves me and is monitoring me. God has a plan for me, not just for the church, not just for the state of Texas or a denomination. God has a plan for me. Have you ever thought about what that really means? That God has a plan with your name on it. He has an awareness of you. He's interested in what you do and how you do it. Think about all the things you thought you did in the dark. Well, nothing you've ever done has ever been in the dark. God knows everything you're thinking. He cares about what you're thinking and if you're thinking. And there were a few people who nodded their heads. He cares about how I feel and how that motivates me to do various things. He cares about the effects of my emotions. He cares about my actions, what I do for others and what I refuse to do and what I pass up doing because I was busy doing something for me. He knows. He knows what I love and He knows how committed I am to the things I love. He has a plan that covers all that I am and all that I ever hope to be. He has a plan that sees me in my most intimate being. He knows me when I am a bad child. He knows me when I do things that please Him. He knows the desires of my heart. And He cares about them. He still loves me, even though He knows all about me. That's what He sang about just a moment ago. Amazing grace that loves a wretch like me. Surely all of us have to consider what it means. This statement that God has a plan for your life is an exclusive statement. He does not have a plan B for your life. He only has a plan A for your life. And He loves you enough to allow you to have your self-will to either follow His plan or to reject it. He doesn't want to force you to follow His plan. If He did that, we would be less than what we were created to be. Now, that's not really a warm and fuzzy message. For what happens when we don't go along with God's plan, when we rebel against it, when we go our own way? What happens when our desire does not match up to God's will? When we're sick, and when we lose a loved one, when we lose our job and all of our money's gone? It's harder then, isn't it, to say not my will, but thine be done. It's more difficult to submit to God's will and His plan for our life when our flesh cries out no and the test results come back and they're not good. When our prayers don't seem to be answered the way we thought they should be answered. When home sweet home is as sour as a lemon ball. These are the things we're going to explore today. What happens when we're in the center of God's plan, and what happens when we have a plan of our own? Let's go before Him in prayer. Dear Holy Heavenly Father, as we come before You this morning, may we hear Your words clearly. May we experience their power in our life. Your words are life and death. May they be life today. May we hear the words that bring us to life. May we hear the words that lift us up so that we may look into Your face and know the plan that You have for our lives. May we look upon the cross of Christ and understand that that was a divine plan, that Your Son suffered for us that we might have life and life abundantly. May we understand what our obligations are when we pick up that life and walk with it. Father, cast my words out, for they truly are words that could never, ever express the divine purpose of Your will. They are not words that have the wisdom to speak of the individual plans of the people in this room. But Father, You are here. Your Holy Spirit is in this room. And I pray that You will speak to every one of us here, that You will speak to everyone who hears this message and open their hearts and guide and direct them into Your paths of righteousness for Your name's sake. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you open your Bibles with me to Jeremiah 29? And I'm going to read actually a couple of translations for you, because you're going to see that it's been translated several ways. In some ways, your spirit may identify with more than others. But in the 29th chapter, verses 11 through 14, we begin. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. And I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations, from all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord. And I will bring you to the place from which I caused you to be carried away captive. Now I want to read that same verse from the NIV. You have these Bibles there before you. If you'd like to follow along with me, listen to the translation in the same verses. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. I know that I have thoughts or plans for you. God is saying several things. And first, that He has plans or thoughts for you. You know, these are God's thoughts. They're God's plans. They're not your thoughts. They're not your plans. His thoughts are not our thoughts, the Bible declares. And His plans are not our plans. The Scripture tells us that we should understand that God is different from us. Thank God for that. We don't think like God. He's already made up His mind. His mind for your life has already been made up. Listen to me. You do not change God's mind. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He wants us to follow His plan. There are plans on His timetable. There have been plans that I have made for myself. But looking back on it, I realize that my plans have always fallen short. I remember when I was a young boy, I was born in Electra, Texas, and everybody went, "Yes!" Well, not everybody. I was born in Texas, and my family decided to move to New Mexico. Nobody asked me if I wanted to go. I made friends there. And then my family decided to move back to Texas. Nobody asked me if I wanted to leave my friends and move to Texas. We moved to Houston, Texas. And I was just kind of getting acclimated to the steam bath that is Houston when they decided to move to Luling, Texas. Luling stinks. There's so much oil around that it smells like an oil plant as you drive through. But I got to where I could deal with that, and I had a real nice girlfriend named Becky Hall at First Baptist Church of Luling, and things were going pretty good. And we used to have a watermelon thump, and the biggest watermelons you ever saw, and I love watermelon. Things were okay. And then we moved to Lake Travis. Nobody asked me if I wanted to leave Becky or Luling. We moved to Lake Travis, and we lived there, and boy, I kind of got into that after a while and thought I was Davy Crockett, Daniel Boone, all rolled up into one. I ran my little traps, and I ran around with a gun in my hand at age 10 and 11, and you guys went, "Ugh." I was not as scary then as I am now. And I ran around there, and I walked with God, and I talked with God, and it was a time when I really felt close to God. And in that time, as an RA, I gave my life to Jesus Christ to be a missionary. And we moved. We moved to San Marcos, Texas. Nobody asked me if I wanted to move. We were there, and my mother got her degree, and my father was going blind with cataracts at a very early age. And so we lived there for a while until she got her degree, and then no one asked me. I was on the football team and the track team and had made friends, and we moved. We moved to Houston, Texas. My mother came down with cancer. Nobody asked me if I wanted to live in Spring Branch Memorial. We just did. And then we moved from house to house. Nobody ever asked me anything. And then it occurred to me that everything I did, everything I had, was because my father gave it to me. Every toy I had, my father let me play with. Every piece of clothing I had, He supplied. Every piece of food I stuck in this big mouth, He supplied. He didn't ask me what kind of food I wanted. Whatever was on the plate that He was serving was what I was eating. He liked to cut my hair a certain way and show off my big ears, and I didn't have a word to say about it. As long as I was under His roof, I was operating by His rules. It didn't mean that I always agreed or always was happy with the decisions, but they were His decisions. He was in charge. Let me tell you something. God is in charge. And it doesn't make much difference whether you complain about it or not. He is in charge. Now, this kind of thing, you know, I thought about the situation here, about all the people that have our own plans. Well, I think I want to read you what God thinks about our plans. It's not too much fun to listen to. I think I'll only read it once because it's hard. I'll read it in the NIV. In Isaiah 30, "Woe to the obstinate children, declares the Lord, to those who carry out plans that are not mine, forming an alliance but not by my spirit, heaping sin upon sin, who go down to Egypt without consulting me, and who look for help from Pharaoh's protection, to Egypt's shade for refuge. But Pharaoh's protection will be your shame. Egypt's shade will bring you disgrace. Woo! Doesn't sound like he likes our plans very much, does it? He doesn't. You know, I don't know. We always try, though, don't we? Have you ever done this? Have you ever gotten all religious and talked to God in all religious talk? It's amazing how people with a Texas accent will suddenly start talking, you know, Elizabethan English. Well, the Lord said. I'm sure he's real impressed with that. The Lord said. The Lord said, O Lord, my God, you are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And then we ask him for something. Now, you know God's impressed with that. You know he's sitting up there with angels going, "Woo, boy, that was good. Did you hear that God thing that was going on there? Boy, that boy's got it. He's got something I didn't know he had." Foolish, foolish people. Oh, that Roy Frady boy, he made an argument there. I had never even thought about that. Why, he wanted to do that, and I hadn't even thought about him doing that. Can you believe that? We do it all the time. But God has a plan. He wants us to come to Him naturally and humbly and come to His plan on our own. I used to ask my father what he wanted me to do. Well, what do you want me to do? And then I had to listen to his instructions. Not always easy to do that, is it? You ask my father what to do, he may say, well, jump. And you didn't bother to ask him how high. You might ask him if you could come down sometime, but not anything else. That's what God thinks about our plans. It says in Ephesians 2:10 that we were created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared ahead of time so that we should walk in them. We are to discover God's plans and do them. You know, that's interesting, isn't it? Because to discover God's plans is sometimes something that is the last thing on our minds and hearts. Jesus chose only to do the things that His Father said to do. Only to speak those things that the Father said speak. Boy, that hurts our ego, doesn't it? Where am I in the midst of that? When I die to self and God is living through me, what happens to me? You died. That's what the Scripture says. Are you willing to give up your life so that Christ can live through you? Are you willing to know the will of God and pay the price for the knowing? God's plans for me are for my benefit, the Scripture says. He has plans for me to prosper me and to do me good. It's sometimes hard to understand that He is using all things together, working together for me because I love the Lord and I'm called according to His purpose. It's hard for me to understand in the midst of a crisis that this is okay, this is good for me. Hard. But He does love me and He wants the best for me. He wants me to have a future and a hope that's placed in Him. Now, Jeremiah was giving this message to people who didn't want to hear it. Like some of you. They didn't want to hear it. They were in captivity in Babylon when he spoke this. They wanted to hear someone say, "Hey, tomorrow God is going to come and set you free." That's not what he said. He said, build houses. Go about your daily life. You're going to stay in slavery for 70 years. People are going to be born and people are going to die, and you're still going to be in captivity. But the Lord God is using your captivity to build a new people with a new purpose, and He will not forget the cries of your suffering. Boy, that's pretty tough, isn't it? Well, I've got cancer. I've got heart disease. I've got heart disease. Do I go around crying about it? No. God lays His hands on me every day and lifts me up, and I walk down there. And do I get tired sometimes? Yeah, I guess I do. But I try not to get as tired as you guys look. I try to keep going. Why? Because God's lifting me. God's moving me. God's allowing me. And He has a plan for my life. And if I'll get engaged in His plan, then the things that happen to me will be used by God to make me more like Jesus. God's purpose never changes. When you're sick unto death, and when you're young and healthy, His plans are just the same. He hasn't abandoned you when you fall into trials and tribulations. He's right in there with you. Our plans change because of our circumstances. Because I don't have enough money, don't have enough time, don't have enough power, don't have a large enough congregation. I hear all kinds of excuses all the time about why we can't do that. You may have noticed that I ignore those excuses. If I hadn't ignored those excuses, we'd still be in this one little building and we wouldn't have anything else there. No, if God says it, we're going for it. I don't care if it doesn't look like we can do it or not. It's not us that's doing it. It's God that's doing it. It's His plan. God has a plan, and He intends for us to live by it. You know, I wanted to read to you a little bit about Proverbs. Listen to Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lead not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. Beautiful. I want you to think about what that means. I mean, God had a plan for Moses. Now, it didn't mean that Moses wouldn't suffer. It didn't mean that Moses wouldn't feel sorrowful. It didn't mean that Moses wouldn't have all kinds of crippling problems in his older age. It didn't mean any of that. But it did mean that when Moses was leading the people in obedience to God's plan out of Egypt, and the Egyptian army was rushing down on him with chariots to destroy him and everyone else, and there was a Red Sea before him and an army coming behind him, God was with him, and he leaned on his understanding? No, he leaned on God's understanding, and God opened up the sea, and he went across to safety. He leaneth not on his own understanding, but he acknowledged God, and God directed him across that sea. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were thrown into a fiery furnace. What was their own understanding going to do for them? The fire was so hot, the Bible tells us, that man standing beside it, looking down in it, was killed by the heat radiating up from it. They had to lean upon God, acknowledge Him. And when they leaned upon God, they found that He was in the flames with them, and they came out of that place without even smoke in their clothing. Daniel was thrown into the lion's den. He leaned not on his own understanding of lions. Well, now if I take off my form a little whip, I can keep them. No. God closed their mouths because he acknowledged God and did not lean on his own understanding. Over and over and over we see this in the Bible. We see what happens when we give up our plans for God's plan. When you're in a situation that puts you between a rock and a hard place, lean not unto your own understanding, but acknowledge that God has a plan for you. Have faith in Him. And He will open up even the seas so that you can cross. When you are in a fiery place and the temperature is rising in your life and it looks like arguments and things are going to destroy you and destroy everyone around you, lean not onto your own understanding. God will come and give you a way of escape. He will deliver you because He's in the situation with you. He said, I will never leave you or forsake you. And when you are facing people who would destroy you and the temptations of the devil are coming against you, lean not on your own understanding and your own training and your own theology. Lean on God, and He will shut the mouth of the devil. He's in it with us. Now, if you look at verses 13 through 14, "And you will seek me and find me, and you will search for me with all your heart." God is good. He loves you so much that He sent His only begotten Son into the world to pay for the sins that you and I have committed. He allowed Jesus to be buried like your sins, and He resurrected Him as He does each of us who die to self and receive Jesus Christ as our Savior. We seek Him and His plans for our life. Then we submit in obedience to everything He does. First, to the restoration between us and God. And then as we walk, the Christian walk, submitting to Him every step of the way, we learn to listen to Him and seek after Him, not for what He's done or even for what He's doing, but for who He is, to love Him with all of our heart and mind, with everything that is within us. How do you come to know Jesus? Through His Word, which teaches us that whosoever will may come back to Him. We repent of our sins, we look upon the cross, and we say, "Look, if my disobedience, if my thoughts, if my actions have resulted in what Jesus is suffering on the cross, I'll turn from it. I'll never do that again. I don't want to hurt Jesus. I do not want Him crucified again because of me." We'll walk away. Walk the way that He wants us to walk. I acknowledge that Jesus is the very Son of God who has the power to forgive me and to make me whole, to pardon me, to give me eternal life that I could never earn for myself. Give me the power and the authority to follow His plan for my life wherever it leads me. Into the mouths of lions, into the heat, wherever. I once was a bunch of pastors, and I think Paul was with me, and they were asking me how I did the things I did, because they were spending more time at the golf course than they were with hurting people, I suppose. That's not a criticism, that's just a fact. They said, "How are you doing that? How do you do that?" I said, "I like the smell of napalm in the morning. I do like the smell of napalm in the morning. It's the smell of victory. I am not afraid to run where angels fear to tread. By the power of God and the authority that He gives each and every believer, none of us should ever run from the devil. We should stand and he will flee." We need to understand that God has a plan for your life to be victorious, not to be someone who is always dragging around and can't find any victory in his life. You're to be victorious. You're to be victorious when you're sick. You'll be victorious when you're healthy. When you're poor or you're rich, you're always to live the victorious life, because Christ has made us more than conquerors. We are to live a life that's full of faith. Faith that believes all things. A faith that girds us up, where we believe even when the circumstances around us testify to the opposite. We need to know that God has a plan to empower you, to bless you, and not to curse you. Scripture says here that His plan is to prosper you, and the promises that He has given are written in the blood of His Son, Jesus. It is a blood covenant. And you can take that to the bank. It's genuine. All the counterfeit things you think, all the counterfeit things you're told, all the counterfeit things in your life are of the devil. They're not of Jesus Christ. Following through counterfeit life, you never come to the place where you hear the voice of God. He does not scream to you. You don't have to scream to Him. It's a matter of fact, Jesus said just the opposite. You don't need to be going, "Well, God, I'm right here in front of millions of people." No, thank you. Jesus said, "Go and ask in secret. and you'll be rewarded publicly. Did not say to make a fuss. Let Him know what your heart is. Talk to Him as He wants you to talk to Him. Receive the life that He alone can offer. Live for Him. Live for Him. Live for Him. The old man, the old woman has to die. Has to die. So that the new creature in Christ Jesus can come alive. We have to put to death, Paul says, all of the flesh so that the Spirit of the living God can walk in the plan that God alone has provided and written from eternity past through eternity future for your life. He has a plan for you. And you can know it. And you can live it. Knowing God's plan is the greatest thing that we can have. A knowledge of what God really wants us to do. And if you don't know what His plan is, wait and ask Him. He'll reveal it to you. It's His plan. He wants you to know about it. Says, be still and know that I am God. May not hear it in the storm, may not hear it in the earthquake, but you will hear the still small voice of God leading you onward when you acknowledge Him and lean on Him. He will direct your path. Maybe you can't know everything. I certainly didn't know everything. Never have and don't now. But when God called me to be a missionary, I thought I was going to be on the foreign mission field, and then I moved. And my parents received all this stuff from the mission society. And they sent it all back, said, this kid's 11 years old. And God brought the world to me. Maybe that's the reason I think in kingdom terms. Submitting to God and allowing Him to have your life to work with may not be what you planned. Certainly wasn't what I planned. I planned to be talking to thousands of people every Sunday morning. And look what He gave. God does have a sense of humor. But it's His plan. And so now we reach 2,000 people beyond this church every week. And now I have a pastorate, really, with all the police officers and their families and all the firemen and their families. And that's 4,800 people. More than I can shake a stick at. And then all the people of Plano who I go to see in times of crisis because I'm a chaplain. God has His own plan. It wasn't my plan. He's got a plan for you, too. It won't be your plan. You'll probably go kicking and screaming just like I have. I had a friend tell me that he didn't really want to believe in the rapture, but he did. But he was so scared of flying, he said that when I get to heaven, I'll have my hands full of limbs that was holding me. God cares about you. I can only imagine what would happen if all of us, me, you, everybody in this room, were to give ourselves totally to the plan of God. What could He do with us? Let's go before Him in prayer. Dear Holy Heavenly Father, as we come to this moment, may we hear the still small voice. May we know Your presence in our life. And may we be humble enough to submit to whatever it is You want us to do. Father, I thank You and I praise You that You love us. And out of Your eternal place in all of creation, You monitor even me. You have a plan for one as weak and honoring and sinful as I am. And Father, I know that you have a plan for each and every one of us because your word proclaims it. And so, Father, if there's someone in this room that needs to get in step with your plan, if there's someone who doesn't know you, first of all, through your Son, Jesus Christ, the Bible says that no one can come to you except through Christ. And so, Father, we ask that if there's anyone here that they make that first step, that they ask God to forgive their unbelief, they walk down here and receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Only your Spirit can call them. No impassioned words, no religious ease, no bells and whistles, but only the still small voice of your own Spirit can call. Father, there may be others who have walked away and need to rededicate their life, who realize that their lives have not been totally placed in your hand. They're here on Sunday morning. They do various things, but there is a portion of their life that they plan for themselves, that they have withdrawn from your will to do their own thing. And they need to rededicate their life and submit themselves completely and totally to your plan. There may others be here that need a prayer because they're sick or they're infirm, and their faith has been so small that they have not listened to your word. And your word says that if we have sick among us, let them call for the elders of the church, that they may lay hands upon them, anoint them with oil, and pray for them. But they haven't gotten in line with your word and your plan. All of us, Father, have fallen short and have failed the test of walking all the time in your plan. But Father, may this be the day that all of us recommit to you. But Father, we lay these things before you and ask you to do what only you can do, to touch our hearts, to bring us into an absolute center of your plan for our life, a plan for the life of this church and all of the people that it touches. But we ask it in Jesus' precious and holy name, that name that you placed above every other name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.